It's time to talk politics with Labor leader Andrew Little.
Yes, that's right. We are now joined by leader of the Labor Party, Andrew Little. Kia ora, Andrew. How's it going?
Kia ora. Very well, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Congrats on the Labor Greens one-year anniversary.
Yes. one year already. So we had a little celebration last night. No, it's very good. The relationship was good before we did the MOU, but certainly the memorandum of understanding has strengthened it, and we've got good relations at the leadership level as well as, you know, between MPs.
I saw on backbenchers last night.
Right.
So the budget announcement last week has made for some interesting headlines for Labor the last couple of days. Of course, National's budget has been called many things: unambitious, lacking vision, but it has made one fundamental difference in their reputation, and that's in regards to social issues. They've got the significant increase in accommodation supplement payments and helping those on low incomes, and that's led to a lot of commentators kind of pinpointing this ideological shift, and it almost seems like National's creeping into Labor territory a little bit. Is this threatening at all?
No, that's one way to characterise it. In the end, what it is a government that after 9 years has, you know, 4 months before an election, realised that what they've done in terms of helping people facing expensive accommodation costs actually isn't very much at all. They have long been opposed to working for families. Suddenly they've realised that actually that is a way of helping low and middle income people who are struggling to keep up with the cost of living. And you have to remember too that in 2010, I think it was, they cut working for families, and the cost of that cut was roughly $700 million a year. What they put in to working for families and the improvements they've made last week is about $370 million. So they haven't actually recovered kind of what they cut so many years ago. The reason why it's not an ideological shift, we know, is that this has all happened after 9 years, and when there are intractable problems that they really now have to take responsibility for that they've done nothing about. The chronic shortage of housing, the lack of state housing, and, you know, the growing homelessness problem, the fact that health services have been cut back, and mental health in particular is now in a chronic state, and you know, youth unemployment is so bad. All these things remain totally unaddressed by last week's budget. So we've been staking out the issues that are priority for us, and they still remain after last week's budget.
We're kind of hearing these statistics now, but this kind of past week, Labor's had a bit of trouble formulating a response to the budget. You pulled out of a scheduled appearance on TV3's The Nation on Saturday morning. Why was that?
No, we don't have any problem at all. We've been pretty clear. We support the Working for Families stuff. We are the party of Working for Families. We set it up. We support the accommodation supplement. What we don't agree with is the tax package. And the, in terms of setting up that interview, the producers of their program were clear, repeatedly saying, "Oh, we want to know what your alternative tax package is." Well, for heaven's sake, you know, the government has 10 months to put a budget together. We had 2 days. With the figures from the budget, we are not going to put an alternative package together in a matter of 2 days. But the producers of the program didn't accept that, didn't see that, and then they said, "Well, we said if that's all you want to ask about, there's nothing to ask because you cannot expect us to do that sort of work in 2 days." And it broke down at that point, and so our spokesperson didn't front up.
Was this not a prime opportunity to criticise the government's budget, though?
Well, we've done a fair amount of that, and in the end, what people want to hear is what will we do that's different. And I'd rather take the time to do our homework, get that right, and take the opportunity, actually well clear of the budget and all the noise around that, to stake out what it is that we're doing, how different that is, and how more positive it will be for New Zealand in the long term. Because there's no question about this budget, it is a totally short-term budget. It's about getting this government past the 23rd of September, and that's all.
Right, but it's kind of fueled the speculation about Labor's competence or whether there's some kind of internal problems within the party by not showing up for this. So is that the case in any sense?
No, I don't. Anybody who thinks about it thinks that the government has months and months to put a budget together. They have the entire kind of public service to help them put it together. We don't. And I'm not going to be pressured into coming up with, you know, a comprehensive response within 2 days of the budget. I think there are some people in the media, obviously producers of some current affairs programs, who are frankly unreasonable to think that that might happen. And that is the nature of some media these days, is they want instant kind of response, instant gratification on complex issues that, take a fair amount of work. I absolutely stand behind, you know, where we've got to on the budget so far. We've been very clear what we agree with, what we don't disagree, what we don't agree with. And I have to tell you, in this day and age, with all the problems that we've got, with lack of housing, with homelessness, with overcrowded schools, with hospital services struggling to keep up, the idea that we spend $400 million giving a tax break to the top 10% of earners is just frankly ridiculous. So we want to take time to have a look at the total tax package, look at what we would do differently, and so that New Zealanders will have a very clear picture about what our plan is, how we pay for it, and that it is about the long term, not about the short term.
Right, but fronting up to those kind of media inquiries and holding the government accountable is what the opposition's expected to do.
Yeah, and I think if you look at, you know, I guess the question is, do you go along to a current affairs programme on Saturday morning with an audience of roughly 20,000 just to have a question repeatedly put to you, what are you going to do, what are you going to do, where are your numbers, where's the detail, when you cannot simply do that in a matter of 2 days, is a pretty fruitless exercise. And I get, you know, there'll be National Party people who'll be getting on social media saying that, you know, Labor's not fronting up, all the rest of it. That's just part of the politics that goes with it. I've got to do, you know, the right thing, which is we take our time to put together our package. We've made it very clear what we disagree with. There will be an alternative, but we've got to have time to do that work, because if we kind of rush into it and say, well, you know, we might do this and we might do that, which is already happening, you still get the story. So I said earlier this week, we are going to look at the tax package because we don't agree with it. We want to see what we do as an alternative. What's the headline the next day? Andrew Little won't rule out tax rises. I never even mentioned tax rises, but it's the mischievous sort of discourse that you get, and it gets wound up by the surrogates for the National Party who are out there. That's life. We, you know, you live with that. But in the end, as a leader, I've got to be focused on us doing the right thing and making sure we get our message out at the right time about what we're actually doing, not what surrogates of the National Party and the right would like to think that we might do.
So has the budget kind of forced Labor to re-evaluate your own spending plans then?
No, I am totally committed to the commitments that we've made. We have to build more houses, and we're going to do that. We've got to build more state houses. We're going to do that. We have to lift the, or start to restore the funding cuts to health, the $1.7 billion cuts to health. It is not right, because we know that one of the victims of that are mental health services, and they are in absolutely chronic state, as the report from the Auditor General yesterday basically confirmed. It's not right that we've got kids going to school and having to have their lessons in school halls and school gymnasiums, because this government has totally failed to keep up with making sure that our schools and the number of classrooms they've got keep pace with the rising student population. So we are going to fix those things. I'm totally committed to it. And the reason for that is, for Labor, those things, housing, health, education, are those basic foundations that everybody has to have for a good society and for opportunity for the future. We'll have a look at the tax cut stuff, but I tell you, I am not going to, and it is not part of my plan, to see $400 million being spent on the top 10% of income earners. They don't need it. There's better ways to use that money. It's about giving everybody a better chance, and that remains our priority.
Right, and speaking of tax, another aspect of this budget is that it's also kind of put the Labor-Greens' unity to the test, with the Greens voting for National's budget reforms to tax changes, while Labor has not. What did you kind of make of this move?
Completely unremarkable. Again, it's the surrogates in the National Party who put up stories because we voted differently. Look, yesterday you had Marama Fox posing really, really difficult questions to the National Party in Parliament, that they are meant to be coalition partners. I've yet to see a headline saying that the Māori Party, National Party coalition agreement is falling to bits. You had David Seymour from the ACT Party on Tuesday getting stuck into the government over their budget and over the spending plans. Yet to see a headline to say the ACT Party and National Party coalition agreement is falling to bits. The reality is, When you look at what the Green Party and the Labor Party, and for that matter New Zealand First, said about the budget in their various speeches in Parliament on Thursday and on Friday, and indeed over the weekend, we actually line up on it. We made the tactical decision that given that $5 out of every $7 in last week's package goes to the tax cuts that are unfair, whereas only $2 goes to working for families and the accommodation supplement, we would vote against the package. The Greens, seeing the same figures and taking the same stance on each part of the package, decided that because the working for families part of it, of which $1 out of every $7 goes into it, but still lifted people out of poverty, that they would vote for it. It was a tactical difference, but it doesn't change the fact that we all disagree with the underlying strategy to the budget, and actually that the Greens and Labor are totally committed to changing the government so that we start to restore the social foundations for New Zealand. That remains absolutely the case.
Right, but does this move not kind of undermine the measures that Labor and the Greens have taken so far to gain and ensure that voter confidence?
No, because if you have a look at even over the last year, there were occasions when we voted differently in Parliament. That's still what happens. The memorandum of understanding doesn't require us to vote the same way. We're not joined at the hip. We vote differently. But it happened in the budget, and because this is a government that after 9 years is desperate to kind of hold on to power, you've got some of their surrogates in the commentary and making commentary about the fact that we voted differently. Now, you know, if it kind of gives a bit of a thrill to the National Party to keep repeating the fact that the Greens voted one way and we voted the other, well, good on them. The reality is New Zealanders will be pretty clear about what each of us thinks about the tax package and about working for families and about the accommodation supplement. It actually happens to be the same, and that's what matters most. So there's nothing in the fact that we voted differently on the legislation on Thursday and Friday.
Right. Moving on, I'd just like to very quickly touch on the Auditor General's report on mental health that was released this week. It expressed some serious concerns, I think chiefly in the name of funding. What's struck you as the most alarming thing in that report?
I think it was looking at some of the DHBs who have, you know, patients who have been discharged and coming back, like a third of them, I think, and one coming back within 7 days, and another one where within 28 days, 4 weeks, there'd been a 100% readmission rate. And that just tells you that patients, and at least in those places, aren't getting the full treatment that they need, and their discharge plans aren't being, or if they've got them at all, aren't being followed through on. And the report makes the comment about lack of suitable residential space for people. So what it tells you is that our mental health services, and remember that report just focused on discharge of acute mental health patients, which is a small fraction of the total number of, you know, people demanding mental health services, but tells you at that level there are serious gaps that have opened up, and that is a major problem. It just tells you that everything we've been saying about mental health services being underfunded, unresourced, unhelped, is absolutely true. It's absolutely been borne out by that report, and we've got a lot of work to do to fix it.
Can you just touch a little bit more on how the housing crisis plays into this idea of safe rehabilitation for patients?
I think what the report was, the report talked about people who need residential kind of care or residential supervision. They're past the crisis stage. They might have stabilised, but they're not fully independent. They still need a bit of help. But those places just aren't there anymore. And then, of course, in terms of the general housing crisis that we've got, I know for a fact that the lack of housing and the fact that so many people don't have their own place, that's actually a driver of mental health problems itself. So it comes at it at both ends. We have a major problem. And if we're serious about fixing it, mental health and the mental health problems we've got to come at it from the mental health service end, but actually also on restoring those social foundations that have been left to deteriorate under this government.
So has the budget significantly impacted Labor's response to this issue?
Not quite sure what you're getting at there. No, I mean, we've made the commitment about certainly on mental health that we're going to, there's a couple of initiatives we're already committed to, which is the running the pilots for the primary mental health care teams, also putting registered nurses in every school, because we know that helps managing mental health issues for teenagers and adolescents, But we'll also do a stock take of the entire system because we need to work out where all the gaps are, then start to work out what we need to do, including better funding where that's needed, and work out a plan to fix up our mental health services. So budget hasn't changed that at all. The priority for Labor, regardless of last week's budget, is to invest in those things that are going to, you know, restore health, restore quality of education, restore people's chance to get their own roof over their head, put those things back together. We have to do those things, and we're not going to be driven by the kind of short-termism that this government is with the budget they handed down last week.
Andrew, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, you have a lovely day.
You too. Cheers.
Bye.
You've been listening to Andrew Little from the Labor Party.
The Wire.